Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. Let us begin our study tonight with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, our Savior, I want to give you thanks for this opportunity to meet with your people so that we might profit from your word. Indeed, Lord, your spirit is the author of the scriptures, and we pray that there are no unconfessed sins in our hearts or an unconfessed sin. And we know that according to 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us out from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, tonight I'm going to be reading from John chapter 16, John 16, verse 33, which reads as follows, quote, these things, and Jesus is speaking, quote, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, unquote. Now, this is a very important verse for believers to understand, because our Savior is speaking to his own, and this is the passion has come upon him, and he is spending time with them. He is building them up in this upper room. He is sharing his fullness with them. This is a very intimate time, and these are, mind you, these are the men who are going to go out and share or publish the good news of the gospel after his resurrection. And so he is spending time with them. He is investing himself into their hearts, because he knows that what is about to happen to him will be unbelievable to them from human viewpoint thinking. And so he has to build them up in the word. He has to edify their souls because of what they will see and what they will witness. If not for the word, their hearts would be crushed. And so he tells them, in verse 33, I have spoken unto you that in me. So this important preposition is going to be very prominent in the epistles, in the writings of Paul. Paul will use in Christ, the great prepositional phrase, upwards of 130 plus times. And so in me, that is within the sphere of me, you might have peace. He knows what is coming. He knows that the powers of darkness are going to unleash their worst upon him. He knows this. So in me, that in me you might have peace or rest. And so that is an untroubled sense of well-being, an untroubled and undisturbed sense of well-being and freedom. In the world you shall have tribulation, or in the cosmos. And the word here for tribulation means something that crushes and seeks to prevail over the life of the believer. But notice, in the world you shall have tribulation. He tells us in no uncertain terms what life will be like for real believers within a cosmic system. But then after the colon we read, but be of good cheer. Well, okay, since this is the old KJV, let us look at these words differently, because this is be of good cheer is one word in the Greek, and it should read have courage, have courage. So, but then it goes on, and we have ego in the emphatic position in the Greek, I, which is transliterated as I have overcome the world. And that is in the perfect indicative. I have overcome the cosmos. I have overcome. All of our victories, every victory that we have in life is through Christ. It is in Him, within the sphere of Him. So I want to go back in John's Gospel and take a look at a few verses, because I want you to see what in John chapter 1, what has led up to this situation wherein Jesus is speaking so profoundly to his disciples. Now in chapter 1 of John, verse 14, we read, quote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us," or it is, again, the preposition in, "and dwelt in us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace," or abounding in grace and truth. We have in this verse that the word, the Logos, made an entrance into a condition that, into a new condition. That is the idea here. And so the word dwelt means to pitch a tent. And so here, the flesh is the tent that he pitched among us. And so the word, the picture, the word picture is very powerful. Then we go on, and there is the record of Jesus. This is still in John 1. Jesus meets Simon Peter. And Simon Peter is brought to Jesus and by Andrew, his brother. And so in verse 41, we read, "We have found the Messiah," which is the Christ. "And he brought him to Jesus," verse 42. "And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," or Cephas, "which is by interpretation a stone," or literally a piece of rock. And so we have the new name motif that Jesus employs here to show that he knows who Simon is presently, but Jesus, upon meeting him, gives him a new name to show us and to show Simon that his complete destiny is in the hands of Jesus. So God knows from the beginning what our end will be. God resurrects us, or he brings us up out from among the dead through the new birth. He grows us up in the faith. And we are to mature unto all things like unto him. And so he knows our new destiny. If anyone in Christ, a new creation, old things, and that should literally, old worn out things are passed away. Behold, all things are become qualitatively new. That's the spirit, and that's the emphasis in Pauline thinking about this powerful transformation that man can never do, or no one could experience this without knowing Christ. This is the good news. He is the good news. So he is rejected by the cosmic system, which is founded upon, which is founded by the devil. The devil did not want Jesus here. Now I'm going to go back in John chapter 1, verse 23, and this is about John the Baptist. In verse 23, John 1, 23, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." Now, I want to talk about this word wilderness. It means wasteland. And this word is illustrative of the condition of his time, that is, of the public ministry of Jesus. So Jesus ministers in a wasteland. Isaiah says that he is a tender shoot out of parched ground, which gives us another picture of the harrowing spiritual condition of his time. So it is in chapter 11 of John, it is the resuscitation of Lazarus, because Lazarus was not resurrected. Lazarus did not have a resurrection body. Well, how do I know that? Well, at some point, Lazarus died again, and so he was not resurrected. He was resuscitated by the Lord. And so it was that event that made the Pharisees say that we have to get rid of him. We can no longer afford to have him around. So in chapter 12 of John, we read, "But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death." They wanted to put Jesus to death at this time too. Jesus was shifting the power differential away from the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians. The power differential was shifting from them to Jesus. Lazarus was a living exhibit of the power of God. And so they could not have Jesus around anymore. So Jesus knew what was coming to him, and he knew because he is omniscient, he is God Almighty, he knew what was going to happen. So he speaks to his own. And so in John 16:33, we read, "These things have I spoken unto you," that is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Arithmoi in the Greek, that in me, within the sphere of me, you might have rest. Beloved, this world is dangerous. The cosmos is dangerous. And it seeks to hurt believers. It seeks to break our fellowship with the Savior. It seeks to hinder our growing up in the faith. It seeks to hinder our spiritual growth. But I want what we have in our Lord cannot be removed by the cosmic system. Be strong. Be stabilized in your hearts through the Word. Your Savior has you in the palm of his hand. He has me in the palm of his hand. Be determined to stand for him, to live for him, and understand what Jesus said, "In me we have peace. We have peace in our Savior." So this should change your prayer life and your praise life and provide stability that you need in these present evil days. Good evening, and God bless you.